We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP, our Twitter poll question of the day, brought to you by the casino at Delaware Park. You can make a day of it at Delaware Park. Enjoy daily fee golf, lunch, and sports wagering. DelawarePark.com for details. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. Today's question, all right, we take the four teams left in the East, and we ask this question, who's going to win the East? NBA playoffs, who's going to win it? Four choices in order of their seeding. A, the Sixers. B, the Nets, C, the Bucks, and D, the Atlanta Hawks. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right, let's talk more Sixers hoops here. The CEO of the 76ers, Scott O'Neill, with a new book out called Be Where Your Feet Are. Talks about some of his time with the Sixers and more. And also, of course, at a time when the 76ers are a month and a half away, roughly, from a shot at winning the NBA championship. But they got to make a big decision on whether to play Joel Embiid. A lot to talk to Scott O'Neill about today. Scott, welcome to the show, man. Congrats on the book and the first-round victory.
I appreciate you guys. It's certainly been a minute, and I'm happy, healthy, and smiling.
Good.
It's not a bad time to be a Sixer. And in that poll, I'm going to take the Sixers.
I figured you would. Scott, to have the full crowd back for Game 5 must have felt great for you and the organization.
Yeah, I mean, just to go back a year ago, I'm sitting in the bubble in Orlando by myself, the only fan of the game. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, it's hard to think about like how humbling it is. And then to come back at the Wells Fargo Center and be one of maybe 30 fans that, you know, are kind of staff and execs watching games, and then to move up to 25%, 50%. And then this crowd, I mean, these fans are just the best in the world, and they bring it every single night. And that game is special. You know, I've been in this business now 25 years, and I have some really special memories and moments. And they're not oftentimes the ones that others have, but my moment, that will be a moment I'll have forever.
Wow. Scott O'Neill with us here. All right, Scott, we'll go through the book for sure. Let's also start, you know, everyone is curious, the status of Joel Embiid 2 days before Game 1. What is his status, as you understand it, for Game 1 and for the series?
You know, as you know well, I went to business school, not med school. But the one thing I do know is Joel Embiid wants to play. He's a warrior. If he can play, he will play. We got to leave it up to the docs and the doc, our coach, and they'll figure it out. And if he's ready, he'll go. He's wanted to get back. He's clawing to get back on the court. And that's why I love him. The season he has had this year, holy moly. I've seen a lot of bigs. I've seen a lot of really talented players in this league. I've never quite seen anything like what he's done this season. His skill package on both ends of the court, MVP season for me, clearly. And let's hope he's back soon.
Scott, we've gotten a lot of callers concerned about whether the medical staff is going to handle Joel's injury appropriately, because we've seen this organization mismanage injuries in the past. What would you say to give fans faith?
I don't know if it's for me to give fans faith. I could just give them facts. You know, when players get a little older, and Joel is now no longer 20, 21 years old, 22 years old, he's 26. He knows his body really well. He has access and relationships with some of the top docs in the world. Mm-hmm. And I have no concern, zero concern in my body that we'll do everything we can. It's wow. Really nice to have Daryl Morey as part of this organization. He's been through quite a bit in his career. Elton Brand's been through quite a bit in his career, and Doc Rivers has been through maybe even more in his career. So you have three elite executives now in partnership with one of the great superstars of our time.
Scott, what about the trying to manage the opportunity to win a title in about 6-7 weeks versus the opportunity to have him be sensational for the next 6-7 years and not risking that factor? I mean, we saw Grant Hill's injury years ago. He was never the same player. How do internally those discussions about risk reward and how to navigate these next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I don't remember Grant Hill's injury. I don't remember the extent of it. All I can tell you is health and wellness of players is critically important. But you remember, like, Joel Embiid is a man, and he is a superstar, and he knows his body, and he has access to great doctors. If it's right for him to play, he'll play, and he'll make that call. And if it isn't, he won't. I mean, this isn't that complicated. There's no, like, hidden voodoo. There's no, like, peek behind the curtain. There's no, like, magic going on. Like, this is really simple. He's a competitor. He wants to win. If he's good to go and cleared, he'll go, and he'll go hard.
Scott O'Neill with us right now. You know, Scott, this book, and congratulations on it, Be Where Your Feet Are, Seven Principles to Keep You Present, Grounded, and Thriving. What was your process in writing the process? There's that word. What was your thought process in putting the book together? And is it sort of I know you weave in Sixers content. Is it also a self-help book? What was your mindset behind it?
No, this is a life leadership book. This is how we become the best version of ourselves. You know, as we're coming out of COVID, I feel like we're isolated, we're alone, and we have this opportunity, a special one, to create together what this new normal is. We have people who are struggling from mental health issues. We have people who are struggling from anxiety and anxious about coming back into work or coming back to a game. And, you know, we can help each other. But the impetus for me writing this book, sadly, was my best friend of 20 years took his own life. His name is Will Carden. And I spiraled into some pretty nasty grief and worked my way out of it with the help of a lot of friends and some writing and some stories and some reflection. And I want to share some of that with the incredible people who read the book.
You know, Scott, I read that you felt a certain degree of conflict between, I guess, maybe like who you want to be as a person and then the idea of being a CEO and leading a franchise. Is there conflict there? And how do you is that an accurate portrayal of sort of internal conflict you feel, or how does that work?
I'm not sure it's internal conflict. I'm kind of what you see is what you get. John, I don't know you as well as I know Joe. Mm-hmm. But I'm not good at mincing words. I never play poker. I just don't have the gear. I can't hide. I can't run. So I lead with my heart. I lead with my heart on my sleeve. People that know me will tell you that I am who I am, whether I'm in church, at home, at school, or in the office. And so I think that we've built the finest front office in the history of sports, the most talented group of people, most wonderful people I've ever been around. I'm humbled every day to walk in this office. So I'm hoping I'm living and leading the same way I live and lead the rest of my life.
Scott, what's it like working with Doc and Daryl Morey?
You know, strangely, I haven't been around him as much, you know, with the bubble the way it is. Daryl, you know, has been a friend for 20 plus years. We kind of grew up together in the business. First came into contact with him when he was with the Celtics, and I was with the NBA League office, and we've been friends ever since. So we connect at games, we connect over text and phone, of course. But man, I remember the first day Doc and Daryl came to town. Elton and I took him out to Vetri's, and we went to a dinner for, it was like a 4-hour dinner, and it was wonderful. I was struck by the fact that we had some elite talent. You know, that's the thing that got me, just listening and chatting and pressing Doc and Daryl and having them press each other and Elton. And I was like, wow, this is what a world-class front office looks like. That for the first time in my career, I was at dinner at peace thinking like, okay, we got this figured out. Now there's a long way to go to see if we hit the promised land and get the parade down Broad Street. But it's not going to be the lack of talent. It's not going to be the lack of experience. It's not going to be for the lack of care, passion, and effort, and work ethic, and kind of being innovative. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful team. And you just look at the staff that Doc brought in. Holy moly. Like, this is a world-class organization from top to bottom.
Well, and Scott, the squad and, you know, the structure around it certainly earned that one seed. I mean, and that could play a huge role here in the coming weeks with home court advantage, at least – through the Eastern Finals, because, you know, that crowd and that team seem to feed off each other from what I say.
Well, you know, we've had the best home court advantage in the NBA the last 3 years. And I was really ready to get these fans back in here. I think our players appreciate it. One of the things that struck me when Doc came in was he said, I keep hearing about this crowd and I cannot wait to hear them. And he heard them. You know, and I think our team responds to it. I think the difference between this team and teams of the past is this team plays with joy. They seem to love each other. There's a great personality to them. All you have to do is watch the pregame warmups and watch the little routine the guys have. You watch, if you're a fan of human dynamics as I am, watch the bench and see how they respond and react to each other. I mean, this is a team of teams. And again, you know, you can credit Daryl for bringing the guys in, and you can credit Doc for making sure that it's all fitting together in nice pieces. And this team is built for the playoffs. This is fun. I mean, this is what we've all been working towards.
76er CEO Scott O'Neill with us. You know, Scott, in your book, one of the things I found really interesting, again, the book entitled and available right now to be purchased, Be Where Your Feet Are, Seven Principles to Keep You Present, Grounded, and Thriving. You open up about the story of you and Larry Brown a few years back sort of having a public squabble. And I remember as a Sixers fan feeling like, I don't like that. You know, Larry Brown was a Sixers legend, a little bit older at that point, and it's like, why go there? And you open up about behind the scenes after the public comments where you reached out to him to mend the fence. If you could, for the audience that hasn't had an opportunity to read about that experience, and from a learning standpoint, did you feel that it was important for you to reach out to him to close that gap and not have that linger?
Yeah, you know, I have the sense in life that, you know, in this business, I feel like so blessed to be growing up in the sports business. I'm sure you guys feel blessed to work in the business you work in.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's like everyone else has to work for a living, you know, and the rest of us get to be in this game of boys, and it's humbling. And so, yes, I truly recognize that we stand on the shoulder of giants, especially in an organization like the Philadelphia 76ers. We got everybody from Wilt Chamberlain to Bobby Jones to Doc to AI to Andrew Toney to Moses to Mo Cheeks. Barkley. I mean, it's a pretty special opportunity. And Larry Brown is such an important part of this family. And that's how this organization is run. And that's how we're built. This is a family. And it doesn't mean that family members don't fight, argue, debate, make mistakes, trip and fall. And I've done my fair share of that. A lot of it has been chronicled and a lot of it hasn't. You know, that was a very tough time in our history. I felt like everybody was taking shots from the outside. And I said some things I wish I could take back. And by the way, that's one of 50 times of things I wish I could take back. But yeah, of course, I made a phone call. I have a lot of respect for him as not only a coach, but also as a human being.
Scott, so one idea I have, and I'll just throw it to you because you're the guy to throw it to. We, you know, we talk about who should be the bell ringer and all that, all these games. I'm just going to throw it out there. There's probably never been a 15, 16-person bell ring, but somewhere along the lines of these playoffs, especially if you get to the finals, 2001 Sixers team together with Larry Brown, with Krejci again, who just did it the other day, and I know Dikembe already did it, but, you know, with Corona, no 20-year anniversary celebration for the fans to see that squad again, and I'm just throwing it out there to you, if you can get them all back.
I love that idea. You know, I'm not the judge and jury on that, but I was the one that may or may not have nudged Pat Krejci to do it. Pat's been a friend and mentor of mine forever. And he's the guy that he and Bill Cunningham are the two guys that seem to reach out to me when the chips are down or I make a mistake or I'm struggling or I need a pat on the back or a hug. And so I just have so much love and respect for Pat and Bill Cunningham. But man, oh man, that's such a good idea with 2001.
Oh, the crowd will go nuts.
Full credit.
If you get the whole team there.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Could you even imagine?
Like game one of the finals. Boom.
Yeah, that'd be pretty fun. Okay, I'm gonna send that up to the decision-making group that is not including of me. But you will get full credit.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, everyone, it's a really interesting read. Be Where Your Feet Are. Scott O'Neill, Seven Principles to Keep You Present, Grounded, and Thriving. Touches on a lot of life lessons and, of course, on the 76ers as well. And Scott, congratulations on the book. Available in bookstores locally and nationally and – certainly Amazon and all of that. Scott, congrats on the book and also obviously on the 76ers. Three rounds from, you know, maybe a parade. And we're certainly rooting for you.
Let's go. Okay, keep pulling. I keep doing your thing, guys. I appreciate you both.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, take care. There he is, Scott O'Neill, 76ers CEO. Yeah, I mean, that's – I just wanted to drop that in there at the end. If they could get the whole 0-1 squad back together. Because they only have one guy hold the – and I guess we'd have to hand it to someone. Maybe either hand it to AI or hand it to Larry Brown, actually ring the bell. But it was a shame, John, this year. Because of Corona, they couldn't do what would normally be an anniversary. You know, bring everyone back and have a big night. So that is something I'd love to see them do. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Patrick in Tabernacle right now. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well, Patrick.
Hey, great interview. What a – boy, a lot of humility. The guys seem very humble.
Yes, I agree with you on that.
Refreshing.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I have a guess. I have a nickname. But the Sixers, you know, I don't talk a lot of hoops. But John, I mean, you're a football player, so it's hard. It's hard to ask you, but like, wouldn't if you're Joel Embiid, don't you just basically say "F it, I'm playing"?
Yeah.
I mean,
by the way, that was interesting. I don't know if you guys caught it. What Scott basically said is, it's Embiid's decision.
He did say that.
He was very clear about that.
Well, you know what? You're right.
And he's using the doctors as resources to try to make the best decision about what's best for him. But, yeah, it sounds like it's up to him.
That was pretty interesting.
I think that's a huge plus. I mean, I believe Joel's dying to play. I believe if he is indeed the one who's in charge of whether he plays or not, and I've wondered that in the past, then he's playing. Like, expect to see him on the court on Sunday. And then every day thereafter, he's going to make it happen.
I hope he does, because honestly, that window, his window is open. And I think, I mean, look, he's a big guy, a big guy foot pro. Like, it's just, you got to just say, man, to heck with it, I'm playing.
Right.
And like, whatever happens, happens, and just ball and leave it out there. Leave it on the court. And I hope he does. I mean, if he does that, win or lose, he'll be, you know, think. I mean, he'd be immortal here. You know what I mean? Like, if he just
Iverson. Yeah,
well,
Patrick, here's the thing. It will really be Embiid's championship if they win it. I mean, the other guys will get credit as well and all that. But this is, like, if they win, Joel Embiid is the one that will lead them there. No question about
it. Absolutely. And the situation with the West, out there in the West, like, I think it's a good time. I mean, LeBron's out, Steph's out, you know, Phoenix is playing good and stuff, but, you know, Booker might be up and coming, but, like, I don't know. I think it's a great time.
Oh,
I think
the
it's
NBA
time
is
to
ripe
go.
For the picking.
It is.
This
exactly.
Season. It's
exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Patrick, 100%. give me a character that did not go by his real name.
Does local count more in the eyes of the judges?
I don't know. Guess it depends.
God, I have so many, but because of you, Joe, I got to go with Dave the Hammer Schultz, because there's only
no,
Patrick. Patrick,
we're talking Patrick. TVs and movies. We're not
fictional.
Then Norville Rogers, our old buddy Shaggy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Joe, I think you did that as a fact one day, didn't you, Reggie? Yeah.
Yep.
See, another example of me not remembering one of John's facts. So that's Shaggy. I don't remember that.
Because you're unable to learn.
Listen, John, when you got this much in your head, sometimes there's just not room for more.
I think that's too great a cost to have to pay, to not be able to learn.
Is that haughty, John, James? You know, I say
no,
like,
I think you sound dumb when you say it. You're saying, like, I can't learn anymore. I mean,
but I'm saying it for a good reason.
You acknowledge that is
the case. Because we all know what the knowledge is in there. You might want to exchange some of that knowledge for more important knowledge.
So it's like,
swap it out.
Like in Scrabble,
like
when you say,
who played third base for the 1982 Phillies, far less important than, you know,
but we know
life
it was,
stuff.
But we know it was Mike Schmidt.
I know. I just picked a
pick
a
harder, pick a
bad example.
Right field.
I think everyone.
It was a bad example. I just picked a position in a year and it was
a horrible job.
I said it was horrible.
All right.
Gotcha.
All right. By the way, John, NBA, we haven't touched on it yet. LeBron last night eliminated.
How do you feel about
are
that,
Are the Lakers
Joe?
Still winning the title,
well,
Joe?
Wait, didn't you put something on that? Didn't you bet
Lakers
something?
Winning the title.
Guys, first off, James.
No, it's beating the Lakers.
Anthony Davis got hurt, which we all know when a statement like the Lakers or Nets are going to win the title, it always goes with the addendum, whether it's said or not, as long as one of their main guys doesn't get hurt.
Oh, he's got an addendum.
Oh, come on. Anthony Davis got hurt. They're up 2-1 in the series. They were going to win the series. Anthony Davis got hurt. They lost. Now, I'm happy they lost for two reasons. One, I do think it makes it easier for the Sixers. I really do. I mean, the idea of facing Anthony Davis and LeBron in the finals was, in my opinion, concerning. The second factor is, as a Jordan guy, I'm glad LeBron has a harder road to get to 6 or 7 titles now. And he really does. And I am starting to wonder, and I know LeBron's got the ankle.
It's not happening.
It's probably not going to happen. He might get 6, but with the Nets super team, he's Jordan must have popped champagne last night, man. Ah,
I bet he did.
This guy ain't getting to me. He ain't getting 6.
Right.
But and the other thing I did wonder watching, I didn't see all of the games, but I saw enough to have a feel. I mean, LeBron wasn't quite right, so it's hard to know how much of that is his ankle, which I'm sure part of it is the fact that the ankle never truly healed to the point where he was normal. And how much is
thing.
Yeah, it is the thing.
A high ankle, you can't be right.
And you
for
called
a
that
long time.
You called that right when that injury happened. Yeah. The other thing though that I do wonder is, and I'll just throw it out there, I don't know the answer, have we seen the best of LeBron? Like, what LeBron was able to do, to me, the best of LeBron was the 4 years he went back to Cleveland and, like, through these early Laker years.
It. He forces it through, like, his own will that he
maintained. He had the remarkable athleticism and all that and a knowledge of the game, and he maintained it with an incredible work ethic. But like we've seen with every athlete of all time, everyone eventually, if you keep playing, declines. Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. Including Michael Jordan, including, you know, everybody. Babe Ruth. So, look, LeBron, I think, is still the best player in the league. But I'm wondering, is he never going to be what he was, you know, ever again, just from a year or two or three ago? Let's go to Tom in Abington. Yo, Tom.
He's not the best player in the league.
Yeah, he's the best player in the league. I mean, if his ankle's right, he's the best player. I mean, who?
Durant.
No.
Curry, I think you could argue.
You've got a handful of guys. You got maybe three or four guys that are all better.
This season, Embiid was better. Jokic was better this year. Like, those guys, Curry was better this year.
LeBron, with a healthy ankle, would still be the best player. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But you guys can be wrong. Let's go to Tom in Abington. Yo, Tom.
Yo, fellas. How we doing today?
Doing all right, Tom. I want Joe to make good on another bet.
Oh, my God.
Well, this is what I was leading to, John. I was going to suggest that Joe, if the Sixers lose this round, that he cut off his smallest appendage. But then I remembered he already put that on the line in round one.
Listen, don't be talking about my pinky that way.
You call it what you want, Joe.
No, I want Joe to bet a bleach blotch. You know, like the Clint Capella bleach blotch. I think DeCamera should bleach blotch himself. I like the stash idea too, but I think he will never go there.
I just, guys, it's the summer.
A bleach blotch is so doable.
Guys, I gotta go down the shore, look great on the beach, you know, rip my shirt off and show my biceps.
I don't believe you take
it. There it is.
You know, I mean, you want me to have these guns, but a very pasty, and I mean very, very, very pasty, unless I'm red burnt because of the sun, white skin, and then have this ridiculous mustache? That's a bad combination. That's not fair. That's not fair to do to a guy in June and July. I can't do that.
So I have an Embiid take, but first off, I want to channel my inner Andy the Troll and call out John Ritchie.
Uh-huh.
So, John, in the opening, you were telling Joe that it's way too early to write the Phillies off this season, correct?
Yeah.
Which I don't agree with that, but my issue is you wrote the Eagles off. They haven't even played a game.
Oh, look at that. Mm-hmm. That's a zinger. That's what they call a zinger.
I agree with that point because I'm writing the Eagles off as well. I'm just wondering how that all works there, big guy.
Ooh, big guy.
Yeah. Well, because I know who they have running the whole shebang, and he's not doing a good enough job, I guess.
Talking about Girardi?
No. Sorry. For the Eagles. I mean, the reason that I can discount the Eagles from the get-go is I think that there's just complete disarray in the front office. And when they're getting mixed messages sent from owner to GM and GM to staff.
So the Phillies are in a mess and we haven't gotten mixed signals from them?
I don't think they're as big a mess. I don't think they're close to as big a mess. And I know that when you've got stars that shine like a few of the guys we have, like JT and Bryce can, that can lift the team, especially when the rest of your division is not achieving at as high a level as expected.
Look, Tom, I'll say this.
I think the NFC East, you're going to see the other teams outperform expectations this year.
And, Tom, I will say this. Look, I like your premise, and I certainly like you going after John with it. But I will say there is a difference between a 4-12 team, which is what the Eagles were. It doesn't mean they'll beat again, but what they were, and a Phillies team, while disappointing and really aggravating, that happens to be really close to .500. I mean, the Phillies are in it. It doesn't feel that way, but they are only four games out of first place. They're not.
Yeah, I just don't see it with them.
Well,
I
don't see it either. I mean, I think we're headed to a September where Phillies games, you know, I hate to say it, are kind of irrelevant. I mean, that's my crystal ball of this baseball.
I'm just saying it's crazy to say that when we are as close as we are, with as poorly as we've played,
yeah,
we're still four games out of first place. We're still a half game out of second
Eagles
place.
The Eagles argument from last year, though, because the NFC was so bad, or the NFC East was so bad. You know what I mean? It's like, right. I hate that argument. But, all right, so on Embiid, I had a partial tear in my meniscus on my right knee in the 90s, and I did nothing about it. And to this day, I haven't felt anything in that knee. It's fine. Now, I had a partial tear in my left meniscus, and I let it go as well. And a month and a half later, I needed surgery. Point being, we're not going to know. He's not going to know. They're not going to know until he gets out there on the floor. And if it doesn't work out, oh, it's too late then.
Well, sounds like a reasonable point.
Tom, that's why he'll play every game.
Well, we'll see. Tom, give me a character who didn't go by his real name.
All right, so I'm going to give you this character, and I just want you guys to remember, if you vote against this, then you're anti-Christmas. Santa.
Wow. Wow. Holy smokes. Jeez. He's Kris Kringle, right? Is that the deal?
Yeah, Kris Kringle.
Wow. Okay. It's big answer right there. 215-592-9. That's a big answer.
Santa Claus.
We got the Fonz.
The nickname.
We got the dude. We got Rocky. We got Heisenberg. We got some big answers here. Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie, hey, coming up, it's been 2 weeks since we've played Beat the Hammer, and given the fact that I lost last time, I'd really like to win this time.
When you got schooled,
I did.
Little chump.
I did. Hey, we'll take you're not wrong. We will take caller number two in honor of the 76ers about to play in the second round of the playoffs. Caller two, 215-988-1258. Caller two, you'll compete and Beat the Hammer coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.